Hello and welcome back to the Benchwarmers. I'm Sonny and I'm here with
Gabe and
Phil.
Phil is in the room.
Sitting in the corner, just yawned. So we're just hanging out.
It's kind of just vibing over there, yeah.
We had not a lot of news, but divisional round and
So I don't know. I get kind of bummed out like the closer we get to the end of the season.
Yeah.
There's not many games left. It was a good, like, I don't know. Should we just start with the Jags and Chiefs? Just get that, like,
let's just get into it.
Like, they, I mean, obviously we knew the Chiefs were probably going to win. I think we both were. I was hopeful that maybe they could cover, which they did. I think it was like plus nine or something.
It was 9.5, and they kicked a field goal with like 30 seconds.
They barely
left.
Covered at the end. I think I texted you about it.
Yeah, we did. I didn't think it'd be this close, though. Of course, Patrick Mahomes sort of getting injured.
So, really quick, had he not gotten injured, I don't think this would have been as close.
No.
Like, it would have been like a 34-20 game or something.
Because who's their bet? Like, Chris Hen?
Han or Han or whatever. Yeah.
I feel like maybe this is just me, but it seems like rarely in the regular season Patrick Mahomes gets injured. I can't think of him in the regular season being injured.
Or like seriously like injured.
Yeah. But I feel like this is like the second or third time where in a playoff game he's gone down. And not like he misses a week, but it's just enough to where he like is sort of iffy for that game. Do you remember the last time this happened was the Browns? It was Baker Mayfield playing the Chiefs. This must have been like 2 years ago. And the Chiefs won, but like that same backup, like Chris Hain or something like that, had a play for him. And it was also same round, I think. I think it was a divisional.
Sounds familiar. Yeah, I feel like he doesn't get hurt really during the regular season, but yeah, when it's these critical moments, he
sometimes he gets injured.
Is it because he's trying to do more in these games?
I think it's just a coincidence since it's only really happened like two, maybe three times. I really think it's just a coincidence. When he was playing, especially prior to the injury, he looked just so good.
Oh, yeah. Before the injury, he was like everything seemed to be kind of clicking. And I think you or I said that Travis Kelce was going to have a good game, and
we both agreed that he was going to have. He had most receptions by a tight end in a playoff game. 14. He had 14 receptions, like 98 yards, and two touchdowns. So that is about as good as it gets. One thing that people are sort of talking about is Chris Collinsworth and some announcers in general I don't know. Like, they really hype up Patrick Mahomes. Like, it's a little bit kind of extreme. Like, yeah, he's great and he's probably going to win MVP. But there was a play where the ball just slipped out of his hands and he threw it in the ground. Collinsworth was like, that was a great play, not throwing a pick and setting them up for a field goal. And I was like, okay, like, can we
this guy
calm
can, like,
down?
Mahomes can do no wrong by him. Like,
no,
everything he does is like magic.
And
to
that's the
Chris
thing.
Collinsworth.
And it's there's players like that, and I think I don't know about the MLB, but certainly in the NBA too, where a player can really do anything, and like not the announcer, but like ESPN or Bleacher Report will post it. Like I remember LaMelo Ball was like this in his first year.
LeBron's
been like this, but
for
like
a while.
LeBron is sort of like old news.
Yeah.
I mean, not old news, like he's still like very relevant, but he's like established. I think right now it's sort of Luka Doncic.
Mm.
And I think he's in that period of where it's like it's Luka Doncic and he's like great. Like he's obviously great. He's probably like one of the best players. He's like top five in the NBA right now. But it's going to get to a point where he's going to do anything and they're going to post about him and then people are going to get like fatigued. Like people have like Patrick Mahomes fatigue because he's been so great, and it's like we're sick of hearing about him and him winning all the time. So it's like people are going to get that for Luka Doncic, and then like he's going to do something, people are going to get like sick of it.
Yeah.
A player, actually, now that I talk, DK Metcalf was like that. His like second year, he would do like anything, and like ESPN would be like, great play by DK Metcalf, like 7 yard slant. So
can you imagine if Derek Carr, like let's say same play that you're talking about with Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball in the dirt.
If Derek Carr did that,
what would they say?
They would just be like, couldn't convert on third down. Now he's going to got to kick a field goal.
Like they would tear him apart.
Like in the Giants-Vikings game, did you see the Daniel Jones? He gets it. He does a fake handoff, a fake throw, and then he puts it behind his back for a handoff to Matt Breida. And really swift and really good.
They called it like a Statue of Liberty or something.
Yeah. And
like you don't see that kind of a like fake.
And it was like kind of posted, but like if Patrick Mahomes did that, it would be like, oh my God, he's the greatest player to ever touch a football. It made me think that me and Jay Joe,
yeah.
We back when I was like 12 at a Super Bowl party, we drew up a play like that. It was that exact play, but instead of handing it off behind the back, you do a behind the back pass. And he was really good at it. So I was like the running back, and he would do a behind-the-back.
Almost like a no-look.
Yeah, he would do a behind-the-back, no-looker pass, and it like just like 10 feet, and it was like the same exact play. And now it won a playoff game. So
yeah, but if Patrick Mahomes did it.
If Patrick Mahomes did it, oh my God.
We wouldn't stop hearing about it.
And that's the thing. You can never like not – like you can't really discredit – these guys that like that the announcers and ESPN really love – you can never discredit them because they're always the best.
Usually the best.
LaMelo Ball was a little iffy in his rookie season. He was just really exciting to see in the NBA because people have been following him since, you know, high school. But it's like you can't be like Patrick Mahomes is overrated. It's like he's not. He's like the best. He's like the best player in the NFL. So
he's the best, and he reminds us like why. Like he'll do little things like each week and be like, dang, like that's impressive.
That's the thing with these guys that's kind of the cycle of it. It's like the first is like this player's really good, and then ESPN never shuts up about him and is like sort of everybody is like
they almost
in
like
awe.
They kill the story by covering it so much.
Yeah, so it's like player's good. ESPN covers it too much, but people are like, wow, this player's really good. Then people get sick of ESPN posting about it too much, starts to call them overrated. Then like 2 years later or like a year later, what later on after people are like sick of them, you kind of have to remember and they prove you why they're so good by winning all these playoff games. So DK Metcalf, we're at that point where he's like reminding us that he's like really good. Luka Doncic is like in the universally loved, but he will be at the like
hated
getting or like not pe- hated, but like people are annoyed.
Annoyed with
like they're kind of over it. Like okay, he did a bat behind the back pass. He does that nightly. Like
so, calm we're down. About to do another cycle of Patrick Mahomes.
I don't know. I've never seen two cycles. Maybe my life isn't long enough yet, but I've never seen like a two cycle
like love hate or just. I guess like media burn, like people just get burned out of seeing.
It's really what it is. It's like it's fatigue, it's burnout, like so sick of seeing Patrick Mahomes every day. But like now he's back and like his family's been real quiet. Remember like Jackson Mahomes and his wife?
Yeah, she's still at the games.
Yeah, like they're still annoying to people there. But like I haven't seen anything of like Jackson Mahomes goes into a bar that's like, you know.
Well, I think his wife and his daughter are at the games, but they're not like the way they were in the other games. Like,
they used to win, and she would spray champagne on people.
Like
it's
in
like,
a
that's
suite,
annoying.
And it's like,
yeah.
It's annoying, and it's kind of rude to the fans that are just getting hit by champagne. But no, like, yeah, do you remember like videos of them like in a suite or in like they'd be on the field or like
and he did a TikTok dance on Sean Taylor's. God. Like Memorial or Demaryius Thomas's something like that.
I don't think he's been on the field at all this year. I haven't seen any video.
I haven't seen him.
I don't follow him, so.
No, me neither. I just like I'll see like ESPN like.
Like the fact that no one's reposting or resharing it tells me that it's not a factor of this issue or this season.
Yeah.
Like it's not something that's coming up. Really quick, this is like we're on a big tangent, but when you're talking about commentators, I didn't – this is like – I think I heard this on a different podcast or something, but someone was telling me that, you know, like Tony Romo, he used to like, I don't know if you saw, like, especially his first season as a analyst or commentator, he would be like calling the play before it happened.
He got
in trouble for this.
Really?
Well, by like the executives that run all these networks.
They're probably pissed.
They don't like for the fans, it's cool. Like,
yeah.
To see him do that, like, it's almost like a magic trick, but like the magician showing you like how they did it, and then it's like, oh, it actually happened, cool. But like, I guess executives at the higher levels, like, they did not like this,
really,
because it takes like the surprise of what the play is going to be out of it.
That's stupid. I remember
they told him to stop.
I think of one example. There's only one example I can think of, but like, I think it was last year in like Thursday Night Football or something, and it was like Cowboys and Giants, or it was some game like that. And Cowboys go up to the line and they go you can hear that, you know, sometimes you can hear the players like calling the plays.
Yeah.
And Dak Prescott is yelling, Bob Ross, Bob Ross. Tony Romo goes, Bob Ross likes to paint. It's probably a draw. And then it was a draw. It was like, I was like, oh my God. I was like, that makes so much sense. And like,
see, but like, if you're a football player on the other team, you're not going to think of that like that fast. Like, when you
know,
like, if they start shouting that and then 5 seconds later they hike the ball, you're not going to have time to figure out what's going
but
on.
But it makes perfect sense. Like, hindsight's 20/20. Like, it makes, like, yeah, like he paints, draw,
yeah,
you,
art,
you know,
yeah.
It makes so much sense. But, you know, he thought of it, they said it, he goes, it's probably this. And then they do that exact thing and he called it. And I thought it was like the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, that he can't do that anymore because they don't like that.
I could imagine him like, they do – like they call a play and he's like
– and he can't say it.
But he's like – and I'm sure like he's like going crazy when they actually do it, and he's going to be like, I knew they were going to do that. And everybody's going to be like, no.
No, you didn't.
Like, don't be LeBron trying like predict random things. But he'll
– he did it several
know.
Times and I was always impressed when he did it. I was like, damn, that's – like you
he,
really
he
know
knows
football.
It.
But whatever.
It's crazy.
Anyway, so
– this game. We haven't really talked about it, but like, Jags did well, I thought.
They did well. Nobody really gave him a chance to win this, but like,
yeah.
I think we said it last week. Like, if I was a Jags fan, I'd be proud. This is that we got this far.
Well, Jags have went from terrible to, you know, a very good team, and they get Calvin Ridley next year, which everybody forgets about.
Yeah,
he was really
his,
good.
His suspension, I think, will be up, which is going to be a huge help. Trevor Lawrence is probably only going to get better. He's like, I know he had a bad coach his first year, but he seems to have improved a lot.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
he's a lot more comfortable.
It helps with, you know, Doug Peterson having like a real coach and not like Urban Meyer.
Really quick, Mahomes, as far as his injury goes, he did practice on Wednesday today a little bit.
He's set to play.
I was going to say he's on pace to play, so I don't think it's going to bother him very much. Like,
I watched like a press thing and he was like, he like walked off the stage and he looked, he had no limp, he had no nothing. Like,
they're just
going to
bandage it up and let him play. Like, he's not, there's no way he's out or misses
no way.
Time. All right, next one. This was, I actually didn't watch too much of this game because it was kind of a blowout, but Giants got destroyed by the Eagles. This was
Matt Burrito scored for the Niners or for the Giants. So there you go.
Sonny, you actually, last week you were talking about like the way this game might play out, and you kind of called it with
I didn't watch this game too much, so I'm not really sure. But
like, they couldn't get the pass game going too much,
so they just started giving it to Saquon, hoping that
which didn't really help either.
Because their defense is too solid.
Daniel Jones couldn't really
get it going.
So Daniel Jones only rushed 24 yards this week. Last week, I think he was
like 70.
70 or something. He was way
big
up there. Let's see. Daniel Jones, 78 yards rush. Okay, so we called it too. Like, the Eagles defense is not going to let him run all over them or pass all over them up the middle. Like,
no,
they're just not that team.
They're too good.
This was not even close. I kind of thought that Jalen Hurts might be a little bit rusty after not being the starting quarterback for a couple weeks. He was not. He was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, he's healthy. He ran a little bit. He had 34 yards rushing. Not bad. I don't know. I don't really know where to go with this Giants team other than it. If you're the Giants, like, what do you do with Daniel Jones? Like, because
that's my thing.
This is like he's not elite. He is. I don't even know. I wouldn't even know if I'd call him good. Like he's decent.
Here's the thing with Daniel Jones. If the Giants have the same season or a similar season that they, if next year they have a similar season that they had this year, where they're like a solid team, they make the playoffs but they don't go far, and Daniel Jones, you know, doesn't step it up, I think the Giants are going to be one of those teams that are going to be in the market for quarterbacks, and like a good quarterback that just had like his contract go up is going to want to go there, because they're going to see that like this team is well coached. Saquon Barkley is great, you know, not a great receiving core, but maybe that's improved or something. A great O-line, solid defense, and they're going to see like the only thing that this team is missing is a real quarterback. I'm even thinking like, you know, what if
– would you take a real quarterback, or would you take like – because the only thing that this team seems like a star wide receiver. Like if you can only have one next year, you're the Giants. You can only make one big move.
And we're talking like Aaron Rodgers or
– everyone that's available right now is available. Or you can try your luck in the draft.
What's a receiver that's like going that's, like free agent? Okay, let's just say like Stephon Diggs or Aaron Rodgers or something like that. I'll take Aaron Rodgers with that because they'll improve more.
Even though you might only have him for like 2 or 3 years?
Look at what Daniel Jones can do with this receiving core. Like who's to say, you know, Aaron Rodgers can't do way better despite
all right. Let me read you like just a few of the wide receivers that are out there that'll be free agents. We have Jacoby Myers. He's 26 years old. He's been on the Patriots for a little bit. Kind of done so-so. Juju Smith-Schuster, also 26. Alan Lazard, out there.
Okay.
Darius Slayton.
Already on the team.
Already on the team, but they have to re-sign him. DJ Chark.
Okay.
Paris Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the Colts, I think. Mecole Hardman.
Okay. I think with all these guys... Is there anybody else that's like kind of big or
Jarvis
like...
Landry, Marvin Jones, Noah Brown? These are like not like I wouldn't call them elite. They're like
I would say all these upside. All these guys except for Juju. Yeah, even Juju. I'd say all these guys that you listed are like gonna be in that like the Giants already have a bunch of like
these guys.
Like they already have a bunch of these guys. Like not like this is just going to add to the roster. Like maybe you know Juju or Jacoby Myers a little better than these guys and they'll be the number 1, but like not really.
So then you don't go wide receiver then. You go
I would take but like the thing is that many quarterbacks would be an upgrade over Daniel Jones.
Like okay, let's do a game. Derek Carr.
I knew you were going to say Derek Carr. It's close, but I'll give it to Derek Carr. Although, okay. I don't know what he's going to do with this bad receiving core because he's always kind of had a good...
Would you, if you're the Giants organization, would you try to get Derek Carr on your team? Like, you might have to give up some picks. You might have to give up some cash or some make a trade or do something to get him.
Okay. I would try... This season, I would try and go for, like, Tom Brady... Or Aaron Rodgers. If you can get like one of the bigger guys, like then yeah. But I think they're going to ride it out one more year with Daniel Jones. And if he doesn't make any noticeable improvements and they're just another good team with a bad quarterback,
yeah,
then I would say that's when they go into the market for a new quarterback. I mean, if Lamar Jackson leaves the Ravens, you want to go for Lamar Jackson.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, if Lamar's out there, like, would you try to get. Like if you let's say you had to make some trades, picks, whatever.
He's gonna be a free agent, I think.
But you get to keep Saquon,
and your
Dable will be back. You get to keep most of your line, and you have to give some picks away, and you get to have Lamar and Saquon on the same team.
You give some picks away and some like minor players that like I wouldn't really know about, wouldn't really make a difference. I would just go for Lamar. I mean, you're giving picks away, so I don't know if that, you know, Lamar makes you a Super Bowl contender, but it makes you a lot better. Also,
wild card contender, maybe.
Oh, for sure. I mean, they're already wild card contender. I mean, they just got to the second round.
So then, if you're still just going to be a wild card contender, is it even worth it against Lamar? Or
I would say it makes them a great bit better. I'd say they. It's tough with this Eagles team now, because I was about to say, like you know, they could win their division, but like
the Eagles are not going away anytime. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, all of a sudden, this division got like really good. I would say it makes them competitive with the Eagles. The Eagles will probably be better just because of their defense is much better. But if you have the greatest running quarterback of all time, I'm confident to say, and Saquon Barkley, top three most talented running backs in the league right now. I mean, a great offensive line. Like, I don't see who's going to stop your run game at all. Like, is the receiver – I mean, yeah, you'll have to throw it. But, like, are the receivers really that important at that point?
Well, here's the thing. If they have to cover Saquon and the quarterback trying to run on them, they're going to try to, like, stack the box and, like,
yeah,
all these guys are going
to
be open.
Yeah, that just opens up opportunities to throw it, you know, 13 yards over the middle like the Vikings were doing.
You don't even need a superstar wide receiver at that point. You could have a bunch of, like, middle guys.
That's what the Giants have. I mean, like, you got a bunch of Darius Lanes, Kenny Hoggins.
Let me go through some of the receivers. So Richie
Sterling
James,
Shepard.
Seven. This is for the actually. Let me go one game back when they like really did good. Okay, this is the Vikings Giants game stats. Isaiah Hodgins, 8 receptions, 105 yards, 1 touchdown. Darius Slayton, 4 receptions, 88 yards. Richie James is kind of in there. Tight end Daniel Bellinger. They kind of have
a
lot
of
these
middle guys
who I think maybe another year with the same quarterback, same system, mm-hmm. or even if they get rid of Daniel Jones and just they bring in someone else, I think just the experience of like, okay, we got to the playoffs once, they kind of already know what to do.
Yeah. Also, Lamar Jackson has never really played with a bunch of middlemen sort of like this team. I mean, he's had Hollywood Brown that one season when
Mark
Hollywood
Andrews, but
he, yeah,
Mark
but
Andrews
he's
a tight
end.
End.
It's
yeah.
a little different, but and you know, he's never played with a good running back, and so Saquon kind of makes up for that. So,
like, can you imagine like Lamar with Tyreek Hill or like Waddle or one of these like
I'm trying to think of like
high end like wide receivers.
I'm trying to think of like a good
like a Jefferson or like a. A cup or one of these guys, like that would be insane.
Yeah. Also, I was going to say, I'll get to your point. I was going to say, like, Mark Andrews is probably talented, but he's probably like higher value right now just because he's been playing with Lamar Jackson. I wouldn't say he's got the talent of like a George Kittle or Travis Kelce, like, or Darren Waller. But I'm trying to think of a good receiver that would go well with Lamar Jackson. Because I feel like you can't just plug in any wide receiver, no matter like how talented they are, into his system. Just because, you know, having Lamar Jackson on your team kind of has to change your whole offensive scheme. So I would say Jalen Waddle fits well because he's like – he's super fast, but he's not like only a deep ball guy, sort of like Tyreek is. And I know Lamar doesn't have like the biggest – so he's got a good arm, but he doesn't have like the biggest arm
He's more of like he benefits from players that are good at like coming back to the ball. Like the play is already kind of broken up. Lamar's running, or he just like flicks it, or does like a short little like pass
yeah.
to like you know a receiver that's on the side. But I don't know. He like you're right. The team would have to kind of change to his style.
Yeah, and I'm thinking like a Davante Adams or a Cooper Kupp or a Stephon Diggs type of player or type of wide receiver where it's like. Great route runner, and you just like hit them, you know, when they're open. They do their route, they get a little pocket of space, and that's when you hit them. That doesn't really work with Lamar Jackson because he's always running around and he's accurate, but he's not like the most accurate. That's more for like just like calm pocket passers, sort of quarterbacks. So that's why I think like Jalen Waddle like relies on his speed more than just like his route running. You know what I mean? Like I feel like Jalen Waddle, someone like that would fit better. But Tyreek Hill is a little too much because he's just like big deep balls.
Yeah. I mean, he can play kind of the short game too, but I feel like he excels in the deep game. Like, yeah, that's where he – like, just out like – his weapon is speed.
Oh, so, like, yeah.
If he can beat you down the field and be open, he's going to do it.
That's the thing with – because if you watch Tyreek Hill, a lot of times on his – he's like, look up Tyreek Hill's, you know, touchdowns this season. He doesn't really, like, run a specific route. They say, like, kind of run up, you know, 15 yards and then just go in that direction and just, like, find wherever you're open because he's faster than everybody.
Yeah.
So he kind of just goes out and he loops around and he's, like, in this – big pocket of space, but then since he's so much faster than everybody, he doesn't really have to do anything precise. Like Davante Adams, he's not faster than the corners. So he does a good route to get them off of him. Tyreek Hill just way faster than that. Like it doesn't really matter if he runs a good route or not.
That and then Tyreek like jumps like way above like his like vertical is insane.
Yeah, even though he's only like 5'10".
It's like it's crazy.
His athleticism is just kind of what gets him there. Anyway, enough with the
Giants and Lamar.
Bengals and Bills, 27-10.
Yeah, this. So I watched all of this game.
This was bad.
I think I said it may or may not snow. It was actually coming down pretty good.
It was snowing.
It was snowing pretty good. It was definitely slippery on the field. I originally thought that the O-line injuries for the Bengals would make a difference, like, because they were using a couple backups, but I think it actually helped them because the defense, like, it's harder to get off the ball when it's like slippery like that. Like, it, you're definitely slowed down like a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
Otherwise, you'll slip.
Yeah.
So I think that actually helped the Bengals a lot.
I think it did because that's sort of the Bengals' biggest weakness is really just Joe Burrow being sacked.
Yeah.
The Bills' issue is like, they don't have a good run game. If the Bills had Christian McCaffrey, they would be going to the Super Bowl. They'd be winning the Super Bowl. I even thought they would be winning the Super Bowl prior to this. And, you know, this game made me sort of reflect, like, the Bills the past, you know, 2-3 years have been just so good with Josh Allen. It's like, why do they just keep coming up short? And it's just that they're really good, but I think it just really shows how hard it is to, like, win in the playoffs. Like, no matter how good you think this team is, like, it's tough. And if you don't have a very – like, they have a good defense, but they don't have, like, a very, very good defense. Even if you have a very, very good defense and, you know, your offense is one-dimensional no matter how good that is, it's hard to get far. I mean, Devin Singletary, like, really? Like, that's your run game?
Or who's the other guy? James?
Zach Moss? He got traded.
Yeah, Zach Moss is
James Cook.
James Cook, but he fumbles a lot.
It's like they're only really known because they're on the Bills.
Right.
So, I don't know.
I'm surprised Josh Allen didn't run more this game. Like, I thought, okay, you know what? Like, to me, I'm watching the TV and I'm seeing, like, at some point in the game, it was coming down pretty good. And to me, it's like, okay, I know they have gloves on. It's easier to grip with gloves, like the ball. But I would feel you'd want to run it more because, like, what if you just, like, I don't know, the pass is, like, not good because of the weather?
I feel like this is the point where it sort of turns for Josh Allen in the public eye a little bit. Where up until this point, it's been the Bills are, you know, an up-and-coming team. Like, it feels like they've been punching up.
Yeah.
You know, they lose to the Chiefs 2 years in a row in the playoffs. It's like, yeah, it's like, it's the Chiefs. Like, they're established. And now that they're established and they had expectations of winning the Super Bowl, they were so good this season for most of it. There was like a 3-game stretch where they played really bad.
The Bills or the Chiefs?
The Bills.
Bills.
They're at this point where it's like they're not really punching up anymore and winning is expected. And when they don't put out those results, it's going to be like, now it's like, oh, well, are the Bills like serious? Like, are they obviously they're a great team and they're going to do well, but it's going to they're going to be like doubtful in years to come, as opposed to like they're up and coming.
Right.
Because it's been 3 years in a row where they're like where they've lost in the playoffs, of course, but like this year they were like established favorites to win Super Bowl.
They won the division.
Yeah,
Josh
Allen's going to win. Like, there's a point in the season, like, Josh Allen's going to win MVP.
I remember those guys, yeah.
And then it's just like, I mean, think about their first two games. They beat the Rams, who were, you know, we think the Rams now like Baker Mayfield. But prior to this, the Rams were the reigning Super Bowl champs.
Stafford was there. Kupp was there.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron Donald was there.
They go Ramsey. Into SoFi Stadium, and they beat them like 37-10.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my.
Super Bowl champs. Yeah.
At home. Then they go to the Titans, which were, you know, still considered a pretty good team. And they pretty much like mercy ruled them. They beat them like 41-3 or something. And then everybody put in all their backups.
Yeah. The Bills' first half of the season, like, was very good.
But the thing is, they just had like a three-game stretch, and this is the thing. This is why Josh Allen's not winning MVP, is because he had in that like three-game stretch they went like 1-2. I can't remember. I think it was like they played the Dolphins, and then it was like that time. It was like kind of in the beginning of the season, but it was like a couple weeks in, and he just played really poor, and he threw a bunch of interceptions. He got like kind of a little sloppy. And yeah. It's like now you're going to look at those stats.
They lost by 2 points. Bills 19, Dolphins 21. That was September 25th.
It was like in that stretch. And it's like Patrick Mahomes, who's been great but consistent this whole season. Josh Allen, who's been great but sometimes dips. You know, they're going to look at the stats and now Patrick Mahomes or Jalen Hurts is the MVP, but not. So it's kind of like – that's. I don't know if this makes any sense, all my rambling.
No, it does. And like I was going to add to it, the Bills – and I don't want to throw – I'm just going to say the Bills overall, like they're kind of becoming like the Cowboys for me a little bit. Like we know they're good – we know they're good enough to get to the playoffs, but they don't win – like they get in and then they lose, which is like kind of how the Cowboys have been.
If they do this two more years in a row – then they're the Cowboys. Now, I think if the Bills played the Cowboys, I think we all know the Bills would smack the Cowboys. But
I don't. There's
I think
a lot
I think
of people
so.
Out there might disagree with you. But
I think so.
I mean, Cowboys fans for sure will disagree with you. But they're delusional.
They're crazy. I really want to get to that game. I'll wrap this up. If they don't win two, you know, if they don't, and I mean like don't win the Super Bowl, but I mean like they don't get far, like.
Like a conference championship win.
They got to get to the Super Bowl. Like they got to, you know, get somewhere. Like
what is this Bills team missing then? Because like clearly they were missing something in this last game. Like they didn't have an answer for the Bengals. The Bengals were up, I think, like 14-0. And at that point I was like, uh-oh, like Bills kind of have to – start doing something here. Like
I don't know. I think, you know, defensively, like, they're really good. I don't know what they're missing.
Like elite running back?
I think they're missing a good run game, even if that means just, like, having a system running back where, like, any running back you put in that system can do well.
Yeah.
I don't know defensively. I mean,
Diggs is there. Gabe Davis.
Their passing game is like not even need to
Knox
be questioned.
Is good.
Like they don't even like that's great. Like that's what getting them to this position. Josh Allen, Gabe Davis, Diggs. Defensively, they got really good safeties. Maybe the thing is that they don't have a good defensive lineman. If they had like a really good one, like I'm not gonna say like Aaron Donald or Myles Garrett because like that's kind of a stretch, but. Okay, what if they drafted Micah Parsons?
Oh,
all of a sudden
God.
They've got like this great linebacker, fast pass rusher. I think it'd make a big difference.
Oh, for sure.
Because I'm just trying to think, like, why are the Bengals able to just, like, just torch them? It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I was like texting a friend back and forth, and I was like trying to understand, like, why the Bills just couldn't, like, it's almost like they were never really in the game.
Yeah.
Like they scored a little bit, but it was never like
10 points.
Like the Bengals were never like, oh no, we might lose this. Like they never were at that point where they thought they might lose the game. Like
No. They
scored quick, and I don't know, it was a lot of three and outs, and there was a couple plays where I was like, okay, if I'm the Bills, it's the third quarter, we're down this, I'm like, I'm just going to start going for it on fourth. Like, you got to do something. I'm like, this is crazy.
Yeah. Well, also, like, you know, it's weird for me to think because when I'm thinking about, like, the Bills' defensive struggles, a lot that comes to my mind is just, like, you know, they got a good defense, but it's just that, like, the Bengals' offense is just so good. It's like their offensive line is, like, obviously questionable. But, I mean, Joe Burrow is just such a great game manager and passer, and I mean they're Joe Mixon's really good, and they got Jamar Chase and T. Higgins, and it's just like, I'm just thinking, like, it's such a good offense, like, who's stopping this? But then on the flip side of that, you're thinking, like, well, the Bills offense should be just as good. I mean, they're missing a running back, but it's like Josh Allen, you know, Stephon Diggs, like, at their, with Josh Allen in that offense, like, at their best, like, no defense is ever going to stop them. Like, when they're at their best. But
healthy,
I guess they're just too inconsistent. It's – I don't know. I mean, it's – we'll see in years to come.
When they beat the Dolphins by only three against a third-string quarterback, that's – I think
that
should
have been the red flag.
That was, like, kind of a red flag for me, and I was like, I don't really know what to make of this team, and – the Bengals haven't really had a game like that where they barely beat a team that they're supposed to beat.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at the last –
aside from week one when, like
– oh, yeah, week one is
also
different.
Week one is kind of the reason why Joe Burrow's not getting MVP. He threw, like, four or five picks that first week. I feel like if he didn't – if you just, like, erase that game, it's, like, after that, I feel like he would definitely be, like, him and Patrick Mahomes MVP candidates. I don't know. It's tough. I mean, I was also thinking, like, especially with how competitive this year has been and, you know, in playoffs, you can't really take, like, this is how this team played against this team, so how are they going to, like
– like, this equals this, so this must mean this, kind of like –
yeah, it's like – it's like Giants, you know, I'm not going to say, like, dominate, but, like, we're clearly – outplayed the Vikings. Like, they played really well. And it's like, and then they got blown out by the Vikings or by the Eagles.
By the Eagles, yeah.
But then, you know, so in theory, that means like the Eagles would beat the Vikings by like 35, 40 points. But it's like, in practice, it's probably not going to be the case because it's just, I don't know why. But in sports, it's like, I notice in tournaments, like, okay, this team beat us. And now we're playing the team that beat us. No, sorry. This team beat us. The team that beat the team that beat us, we play them, now we win. And it's like Right. Kind of a triangle.
It's
not a perfect math. Like, it's just, there's no like absolute bigger fish. It's just like how it goes. So I don't know why, but.
I'll give you an example of this too. So in the first week of December, it was Chiefs at Bengals. Bengals won by three.
Bengals beat Chiefs last three games, by the way. Continue.
But I'm just saying, like, the Chiefs still could – like, any – those games were so close that the Chiefs could have easily just come out and won, which would kind of, like, disprove a lot of, like, well, if Team A can beat Team B, then that means Team A can beat Team C. It's, like, not always the case.
Yeah, it's – I don't know why it is, but
– it, like, never works out really
like
that.
All right.
Really
Cowboys.
Quick. Sorry, real quick. Where would you rank, like, as far as top AFC quarterbacks, now that we know what we know from these games, where would you rank them? Like, we're only going to do the AFC because there's so many quarterbacks. But
and they got the young, up-and-coming guys. Okay, so
let's do
who are the – I'm just thinking, like,
Mahomes,
the seven that were in the playoffs. So we got Mahomes,
Herbert,
Allen, Burrow.
Lawrence, Trevor
Lawrence. Lawrence, Herbert. What was the sixth seed? Oh, my goodness. Already.
We're losing it, man.
Oh. Skylar Thompson.
Oh, yeah, for the Dolphins.
I guess we'll rank two. We'll rank two.
Put two in there, yeah.
Despite his, you know, 18 concussions. And
That's pretty much it.
Who like, did I the I Bengals know. Beat week? That...
Oh, Hundley. I guess Lamar Jackson. Let's just say Lamar
okay,
Jackson.
Okay, all right. All right, Lamar Jackson. Just like going into next season, because like all time's a little bit of a different scenario.
Yeah.
Despite their age. I'd say worst is...
Here, I'll write down some.
I'll say worst is probably... I think it's an obvious bottom two out of the seven, Trevor and Tua. They're okay. good, but it's like they're not going to stack up to the other guys.
I'm going to put Tua last on this list, for me at least.
Yeah, I'm kind of –
just because I don't know what his future is, and I'm
leaning
just
that
like
way.
I
and
don't know.
And Trevor Lawrence has played on the same level, if not better, but with worse weapons. He's throwing a Christian Kirk, who's just fine, but, you know, Tua all of a sudden gets real good or a lot better when he's got – Tyreek Hill. He's got the two fastest receivers in the NFL.
Well,
so.
Anybody with Tyreek and Waddle on their team is going to do pretty good.
Even I'll say, yeah.
Daniel Jones on the Dolphins with Waddle and Hill.
They do just fine.
Oh, but they'll do great.
Okay, so seven, Tua, then Trevor.
Trevor. We got Lamar still on this list. We got Mahomes on this list.
Okay.
We got Burrow, Allen.
So then I think the next level of quarterbacks, the next two, is Justin Herbert and
Herbert.
Lamar Jackson. Now, the thing with Justin Herbert is that he, you know, you can look at it at face value and say he's got great weapons, Austin Eckler, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, despite their injuries, and he's superbly like physically gifted. I mean, he's like kind of like Josh Allen. I mean, he's big, tall. He can run the ball decently well. I mean, he's not fast, but he's hard to bring down. And he's also got like one of the biggest arms in NFL history. I mean, he can launch it. And then you look at it and you go like, well, why aren't they winning? So at face value, yeah. So it's really tough because if you put I'm not going to say like on a new team, but if you give them a good coach, it not even has to be somebody really good, just somebody that's not Brandon Staley, I feel like this team would be so much better. And they'll just like all of a sudden like Justin Herbert. So I felt in the first 2 years, I mean Herbert and Burrow get drafted in the same year. And despite Burrow going to the Super Bowl last year, I thought coming into this year, I thought Herbert's better. Burrow proved me wrong. But it would be interesting to think if Justin Herbert was in Joe Burrow's position.
Mm.
Would he be – I mean, I don't think he would like win the Super Bowl last year or he would, you know, be – the Bengals would be way better. But I think they would be just about on the same level. I think it'd be really close.
Now, the reversed, what do you think the Chargers – would the Chargers be better than they are now?
Now, that's – as it crossed my mind – right before you said it, I haven't made up my mind this past 5 seconds, but it's really hard. For me, I guess it's just the way I've been like conditioned to think, just because of the way they've played in the past 3 years. But Justin Herbert, in my mind, is a talented quarterback on a mediocre, poorly coached team. But I can't really imagine Joe Burrow not winning, especially, you know, with good talent, despite the bad coaching. So
what you're saying is Burrow is a better quarterback than Herbert.
I think we can say is a better quarterback. I think Herbert's more physically gifted. And if they had like a, you know, those like Pro Bowl, like throwing competition.
Yeah,
like
the skills test.
Yeah, I think Herbert would win. But I think, you know, but I also think like Herbert – against like Tom Brady would beat that, but you know, it's Tom Brady. So
you're kind of making the case for me to put Herbert in this next spot above Trevor Lawrence and Tua.
I think
like
Herbert,
that's where I'm going to put him, I think.
But Lamar Jackson. But I don't know, cuz Lamar Jackson has shown his team, he's definitely, if MVP just went to the player where their team needed them the most, I think it would go to Lamar Jackson.
Oh, 100%.
This team is terrible without him. But
I mean, Huntley can kind of carry a team and give you a chance, but
he's like Walmart Lamar Jackson. He's a better runner than thrower, like, but he's like not a great runner, and he's not a great thrower.
That Bengals Ravens playoff game, all the plays that they had him do, I was thinking like that's good, but I'm like if that was Lamar, like
it would work. It would, you know, he gets 3 yards, but Lamar would get, you know,
like,
nine.
Like, yeah, 7 or 9 yards. So I'm like, I don't know. Like, I saw him go out there, and I'm like, all these plays that they made look like they were for Lamar, not him.
Yeah, and you know, the interesting thing is like I'm thinking like. Like, if Lamar was playing in that Ravens-Bengals game, I think the Ravens would have won.
Yeah.
I mean, they only lost by 7, and one of that was, like, a huge 90 – I don't know if it was a 99-yard touchdown, but yeah, he returned it for 70, 80-plus yards. And, one, if Lamar was there, I don't think he would have fumbled. Two, you know, maybe he calls it differently, hands it off to J.K. Dobbins or something like that. And that was
– that would have tied the game. I think
it was tied.
No. If the Bengals not have run that ball back.
Oh yeah,
that's when they went up.
At the moment, it was like 17-17 or something like that.
The Ravens would have took the lead 24-17.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know.
Maybe the Bengals tie it, but then I think with Justin Tucker as your kicker, you just kick a field goal like with like 7 seconds left, and you call it a game.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. So Herbert and Lamar Jackson's tough. Although I think we can both say confidently, Lamar Jackson and Justin Herbert better than Trevor Lawrence and Tua.
Yes.
Like, that's not like – it's not even like, ooh.
Like, look at all the teams trying to get Lamar Jackson on their team right now.
Yeah,
like, everybody's trying to get him on their team.
That's the tough thing because, you know, one, Lamar Jackson has benefited from having a coach that plays their whole offense around him. But he's also not benefiting from, like, bad talent on his team. So with that, I will say Lamar Jackson is better than Justin Herbert.
Okay.
I'll say that.
So far our list is the same then.
Yeah.
All right. These next three are going to be pretty tough.
Yeah, but I've got an idea.
So we got Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen.
And this is like, I guess we've been putting this in like tiers, like bottom, like Trevor, Tua. And then I think all three of these guys, we can all agree, better than Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert. Like, there's no, like...
Yeah. Like, it might be by a small amount, but they're still...
But it's like, you don't have to, like really think about it.
Yeah. All right. Let's start with the third one. So, I think, for me at least, after seeing the playoffs and seeing the games that we saw, and just... I know we're just doing, like, just on quarterback performance here with this ranking, but for me, it's like... Allen kind of dropped the ball a little bit on against the like it,
yeah,
even if they would have lost, but as long as it was like a little bit closer, like I don't know,
but three scores,
yeah,
that's and the thing is,
like,
you can't, with this case scenario, you can't be like, this team lost, but like, you know, Joe Burrow is on so much of a better team. Like, you can't really say that. Like, both these teams, aside from their quarterback, I mean, I'd say the Bengals team is more talented.
The Bengals have a better, like, running back. But, like, quarterback-wise, wide receiver-wise.
If you take the quarterbacks away from these teams, they're both pretty closely equally talented. You know, so you can't have the scenario be like, oh, well, Josh Allen's on a worse team or something like that. So with that, the most important – the thing is, and this is sort of the defense for Jimmy Garoppolo – when people sort of
Jimmy G,
you know, give him crap. It's always like, well, the most important thing is, aside from all the stats and all this, is winning. And it seems like, and you know, not even in just this past game where the Bengals smacked the Bills, but it seems like in general over the past 2 years, you know, since Joe Burrow's been established in the league and not having a torn ACL in his rookie season, Joe Burrow's a better winner with not maybe a better overall team, but not significantly better. So now Joe Burrow is more consistent aside from week one having like rare dips.
Joe Burrow's also been to a Super Bowl.
He has also been to a Super Bowl. But he's more consistent. And Josh Allen's highest highs, like when he plays at Josh Allen at his best, and I think you know what I'm talking about. Like he's really good, you know. Is Josh Allen at his best is the best quarterback in the league. I think if we're just doing these guys at their best, it would be Josh Allen, number one. But since he has those dips of like mediocre, not mediocre, but like underwhelming play, and Joe Burrow just knows how to win, I got to put three at Josh Allen. That's, even though before this, I would have said Josh Allen's number two.
That's where I'm putting Josh Allen too. And
look, now maybe he redeems himself next season. Sorry to cut you off, but for now,
okay. Yeah. So here's the thing: like the Bills are definitely gonna, you know, they're all in on Josh. They're not gonna go anywhere from Josh Allen. Like he is their future. He is
He's their guy.
But look, like I'm kind of judging this a little bit on recency bias, but against the Bengals, Josh Allen rushed 26 yards. His starting running back rushed 24 yards. Like, I don't know. Like, I guess that's more kudos on Josh Allen for running more than his running back. But
yeah, but that's only.
But it's not much considering how the Bills were winning a lot of their other games with Josh Allen running like all over the place. Like, let me look here. Josh Allen the game before against the Dolphins, he had 20 yards. Like, I don't know. I just feel like he didn't really do a lot of his like scrambling this game. Like, he really didn't get into it. And to me, it's like, you have to win. Like, it's like Burrow, everybody like thinks Burrow's better because he wins in these like crucial games.
Which he does.
So he's proven, he's got, like, he hasn't won a Super Bowl, but he's gotten his team to a Super Bowl, which is
huge. Well,
he's
only had one, you know, this is only his second healthy season, as, you know, second real season in the NFL, because, you know, first season, I don't think that really counts, getting injured in week five or something like that. So I'll say second real season in the NFL. He's already gotten his team to a Super Bowl, and he's, you know, two wins away from winning it. So
pretty good.
It's not – I don't think anybody's knocking him for not winning a Super Bowl. If he doesn't win one in 3 years, then yeah. But
– he's still in a better boat though, because like the Bills have – with Josh Allen haven't even been to a Super Bowl.
It's true.
So if like this trajectory like keeps going and like even – let's say the Bengals don't win it, but they get to a Super Bowl and they lose again – if next year, start the season over, Bills still don't get to a conference championship, I think even if the Bengals don't, we'll still think Burrow is a better quarterback just because he's been there already. He's been to a Super Bowl. He's been to a conference championship twice now.
Mm-hmm.
So experience does matter. Like, it does matter. So I'm gonna give the edge to Burrow for my number two.
Yeah,
Josh Allen is my three.
Number one's got to be.
And I was going to say, like, Mahomes, there's no way we're not putting Mahomes
number one. Not to
be
Chris Collinsworth, but, I mean, just watching Patrick Mahomes, even while he was injured. But
he was still playing great.
Even while he was injured. But, like, just watching him play, it's just like, there's, like, are you kidding me? Like, he's so good. And I was rooting for the Jags, and he's one of those guys. He's like, it's kind of like James Harden, like, 5 years ago. Just, like,
before
the most.
Fat.
Yeah, before you got fat. Just like the most.
Oh my God! Really, really quick. There was a photo of James Harden's feet, like leaked out. Like, I don't know why he was barefoot, but it was just like he had the weirdest feet. I don't know why I thought. Okay.
Anyway, well, like just the most frustrating player to root against, and that's the mark of a great player. Like because he would just be in the pocket. They almost get to him, and he would just do his thing. He did a very nice jump pass. Like, he was almost sacked. He, like, jumped over the line, just, like, flipped it, like, 6 yards. I mean, he's so talented.
I feel like other players try to do those little, like, flicks or those little, like, pushes. Like, it's not even a pass. It's just, like, he's just, like he's just, like, almost, like, tossing the ball really quick.
Yeah, and he sort of, like, he made it popular. Like, it wasn't really, like, done as much before. You didn't see a lot of like quarterbacks before the Patrick Mahomes era, like just doing like a quick like shovel
flick or like
shovel
a,
flick, you know.
He does like that one, and he also does like the one where he goes like almost like a side pass. He'll just go like,
yeah,
or just be like that, like a almost like a weird, I don't know, like side pass. But yeah, Mahomes is definitely top of this list. All right, so we got Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Lamar, Herbert, Trevor, and Tua as our list for the AFC quarterbacks.
I'm confident with that. Okay.
Let's get
Niners
to the last game here.
Cowboys. All right. I thought the Niners would win by more. Cowboys stayed in it.
Spread was like 4 or 4.5 minus for the Niners. So yeah. I think you took that. The only thing we were off on was, I think, the over-under, which was like 40-something.
Yeah. Sorry.
Is that Phil?
Yeah, it is. He's making noise. Phil. Did I take the under on this?
We both took the over because we thought it'd be like a super high scoring, but the defenses kind of held each other for a bit. This was actually like close for the first like quarter or two. Like it was pretty neck and neck, and then yeah, the Niners kind of figured it out.
Yeah. Okay. So what's on everybody's mind is that last drive. Now, before I start talking about the last play, which was absolutely bananas, on that last drive, they get Cowboys have the ball, no timeouts, 47 seconds. They got to go like 85 yards or something kind of ridiculous. One rule that is new in the NFL, only implemented like 2-3 years ago. Before we get to that last play,
we're just going to rewatch it. So we got Zeke lined up in the middle. He is the offensive lineman in this play.
I'm sure you guys – he's the only offensive line. He snaps. He's the center. All the offensive linemen are way out on the side of the field.
No, I think these are all like receivers. Like they don't have any
– they're too big.
They don't have any offensive linemen.
I think they're the offensive line. Wait. Let it play for a second. Oh, yeah. They're offensive linemen.
Okay. So we got maybe 2 or 3 offensive linemen in this play.
Well, they got like 5. They got like more on the other side of the field. So basically, this play goes, and you can look it up because it's absolutely ridiculous. They got 3 O linemen on one side of the field and 3 on the complete other side. They got their receivers sort of in between them. They have Zeke is the only offensive lineman. He's snapping the ball. They got Dak and some other player in the backfield. I don't even know who that is. Tony Pollard's injured. Zeke snaps the ball. You why he gets and then he gets blown up by a linebacker. It's not even close. Dak has to throw it. He throws the Cowboys need to get they don't need to get 5 yards on this play. The Cowboys need to get 76 yards on this play. So he throws it 8 yards to start a hook and lateral or something like that. He throws it to Cedric Wilson, and he also gets blown up. He doesn't even land before he gets tackled. What were you thinking? This is ridiculous.
Like, okay, I know that it was a long shot, but don't you try to go for a deep pass?
I'd say you got to just go. I mean, it's Dak doesn't have the arm to get to the end zone, so okay. I'd say you got to go with a hook and lateral. But this is the start of my rant about this whole drive, because the Niners would have been in, or the Cowboys would have been in way better position if it wasn't for this rule that I don't like. And here it is. It was implemented like 2-3 years ago. And it really affected the Cowboys in this play, because what the rule is, it used to always be, no matter what, if the player gets out of bounds, the clock stops. But now the rule is, if the player does not have forward motion and he gets out of bounds, then the clock runs.
I've seen this a couple times, and I didn't understand why they're doing that.
That happened this drive. So they threw it to their tight, because the Niners, prior to this play, because, you know, again, Cowboys need to get 85 yards. The worst thing that the Niners can do is let up a 50-yard throw with 40 seconds left. All of a sudden, you know, the Cowboys are close. So they're playing them way off. Yeah, look. Look, it's not that play. This is
the one before that.
But it's like, it's just a quick 10-yard throw to the, it's this play. He throws it to the tight end. So he throws it 12 yards. He, right before the tight end gets out of bounds, he gets pushed. So he goes
lateral
motion. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
so instead of having 27 seconds, look at this. Instead of having 27 seconds at the, hold on. Phil's banging at the door. He wants to be let out.
Oh, okay, okay.
Okay.
Phil's curious on what's going on outside the studio. You were saying, like, so instead of 20-something seconds.
So instead of the play ends at 27 seconds. But since he gets pushed out of bounds, the Cowboys have to scramble, and now they've got 10 seconds. That's ridiculous. That's a crazy amount of – what is going on with my headphones? I'm sorry.
Yeah, so Schultz catches it with only 5 seconds left, and they're only at the 20-whatever, 4-yard line, which is
– So 17 seconds would be a big deal. Now
– That's like an extra two plays.
They gotta reverse that rule. They got to just say you get out of bounds, you get out of bounds. The clock stops.
Did they do this because games were dragging out too long and they're just trying to let the clock run at the end?
Only in the 2 minute warning.
Oh, like let the clock go if there's no forward motion?
They should do that. Like if the game's dragging on, because that's the only time it matters. So after the 2 minute warning, no matter what, the player gets out of bounds. Then the second thing before that dumb final play is he throws it to Dalton Schultz. Same thing. I think this is the play here where he's got ample room, no defenders to catch it, but he just doesn't get his second foot down. So now they need 76 yards, but they don't, you know, but they need 76 yards instead of like, I don't know, 60. Yeah. So it makes it's a lot, but it'd be more manageable if they were on the 40, wouldn't you say? Like that's enough for a Hail Mary or to not run some dumb play, whatever this is. So
it's something. It's a better shot.
I think had the Niners just gotten the ball at 27 seconds and not 10 seconds, it would have been enough for them to get in Hail Mary range.
Yeah.
At the very least, you could have had
– put all your tight ends in, have them go to the end zone.
You could have just had Dak run around, launch it to the middle of the end zone, and it's almost not going to – like almost never happens, but – maybe one of the Cowboys receivers gets a chance to go up and get it or something like that. So,
or it bounces off a defender's hands and somebody gets it.
Yeah.
Something crazy.
That's what, like, I remember this sort of unrelated and we're kind of running a little bit, but back when, and I'm sure this happened, they did this with other big receivers, but Calvin Johnson back on the Lions, when the Lions were defending a Hail Mary, they would put him in sometimes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just because he's 6'4 and can jump way higher than everybody. But the one time they didn't do it was that time that the Packers got that big Hail Mary for the win on the Lions. You remember that?
Yeah. That was with
the Motown miracle.
I'm trying to remember the player that did it. It was with Richard Rodgers. He's not even on the team anymore. He's like a tight end or something.
He's like a backup tight end, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember he caught that, and it was on Rodgers' birthday.
That's right.
It was like and I remember like Lions,
a crazy play.
Lions fans were like, oh, we got this win, and then like that happens, like just their faces.
It was a huge throw. I mean, Aaron Rodgers got a big arm, but –
yeah,
you know who else? Sorry, not to go on a tangent, but I think you guys would think this is interesting. You know who's got a big arm, and he's a celebrity that my dad is friends with. You know Kevin Costner?
Kevin Costner, the guy from Yellowstone.
Yeah, Field of Dreams.
Well, your dad's a friend of his?
A friend of Kevin Costner.
What?
They're good friends. Back in the day, when I was like 10, and I couldn't really appreciate how cool he was, Kevin Costner. Somewhere near the beach. I have no idea. I was young and I don't remember. But he owns this big, big plot of land.
Sure he does. Like,
yeah, it's near the beach. He's got his big mansion. And then this big plot of land is this little cabin. It was really cool. That's where I was staying, me and my whole family. But I got to meet Kevin Costner. And I just remember him like throwing a real NFL-sized football with him, with Kevin Costner. And I just remember thinking like, wow, Kevin Costner can throw it really far. But then as I grew older, I was thinking, like, that's probably just 10-year-old me thinking that this guy can throw it 20 yards and thinking that's really cool. I was asking my dad about it. My dad said that he could throw it around 50 yards, 50 to 60 yards. Kevin Costner, as, like, a 40-something, 50-something-year-old actor, a real NFL football, that's
a good arm.
That's, like, NFL level, you know, maybe better than, like, Skylar Thompson or something like that. I don't know, you know, I don't remember him being like particularly strong or something. I think it's just, I mean, you got to have strength and great form.
Right.
I think that makes sense because And what I noticed with great form is I used to be a pretty good basketball player back in like my middle school prime. I always was, and I still am a good shooter. And there are even kids that still play basketball and are much better than me at basketball that when they shoot it from like half court, somewhere pretty far, they can't just shoot it normally. They got to kind of throw it a little bit. And I can shoot it normally from half court. I don't got to chuck it or anything. I can just pull up and shoot it. I'm not very consistent. It's a long, hard shot, but I can just shoot it pretty well.
The form is there.
Yeah, and it'll like hit the rim or whatever, and it'll just be like a regular three. And the kids on the basketball team are better than me, and they're stronger than me, but it's just a matter of good technique and good form. If you have good form, you don't need to be strong at all. There are kids on the team way stronger than me that can't, you know, shoot it from half court normally. So I think it's just a matter if you have just really good form, you know, you got to be gifted a little bit and pretty strong, then you can do it.
Form will take you a long way.
Yeah. And then
just like form alone, yeah.
You're Aaron Rodgers, you can throw it falling backwards on the run, 70 yards, you know, crazy throws.
I haven't seen that play in a while, but it was
I want to watch it again.
Just like
I want to see where he throws it from because he must have threw it. I just want to see like where he threw it from.
So it was the last play. They get the ball off with like 0 seconds.
So
this is all just
There was a penalty before it. So he throws it from the 35-36. And that ball would have landed halfway through the end zone. So that's like a 70-yard throw. And go back to when he throws it. I mean, he gets to run up to it, but
it's a good throw.
That's a huge throw. I mean, that's 70 yards right there. He goes crazy. Like, the Lions players are. It was like some holding penalty, right? That gave him like an extra play with 0 seconds left. They should have put in Megatron. He would have bat it down. I swear to God.
When they show the Lions fans on this, I'm just like, oh, God.
That's always like the most fun game growing up, too. Like three flags up. Like that's pretty much what this is.
What's crazy is like this play usually doesn't work.
It
like,
never works.
Like ever. Like I haven't seen one like this in a while where like a Hail Mary actually worked.
The thing is that Aaron Rodgers is the best at them, though. They seem to work out for him all the time. He did that one in the Cardinals playoffs,
He's had a few, and it's like...
Like crazy like ones.
Not a lot of quarterbacks like to do it.
I would say, pull up the Cardinals one. Do you remember that one? I'd say that one's even more impressive for some reason.
It was in the playoffs?
It was in the playoffs, and it tied the game, and then the Cardinals got the ball first, and then they went down the field and scored. So
you know
it's always forgotten
crazy
about.
Is this, I think, was the same season as well.
Wait, I didn't see the throw. It was, okay. It's on the 45 and not the 35, so maybe. But he's falling backwards and being tackled. So I'd say it about evens out. And it was a crazy catch, too. That's never caught. I can't believe. And people weren't outraged when they lost. Eddie Lacy.
Remember Eddie Lacy?
Oh, my God. He's like 500 pounds now. He's huge.
I don't know. I don't think he's on a team anymore. But
no, not for a while.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was. I remember that.
Crazy. So at least the Cowboys could have had a chance at that. But
yeah, so I don't know.
This was ridiculous.
This was bad. I kind of am starting to feel bad for the Cowboys. Like, I'm not a Cowboys fan, but it's like the same thing every year. Like, they just get to the playoffs, they'll win maybe one playoff game, and then they just get destroyed.
Yeah, but it's the same thing every year. This is our year. Oh my God, we're 5-1.
We dem boys.
Second round of the playoffs, we dem boys. Now we lost to the Niners because of some ridiculous
fire Dak or trade Dak, trade Zeke, trade everybody.
Yeah, and last year they lost because of another. It wasn't not as bad as a ridiculous play, but you remember they had 13 seconds left and no timeouts, and Dak ran it through the middle of the field. Can you imagine that? That's ridiculous. But this play's worse because they got time to think about it, and they were like, "Okay, this is the right thing to do." And you earlier were saying before the show, like, somebody actually Somebody thought of this play.
Somebody created this play. Yeah.
Had enough leverage to have it get onto the field in a playoff game. Like someone thought of this and thought it would work.
What, when have you ever seen, I mean,
no.
When have you ever seen a play like this
never,
like, work?
Never, never. It's happened like couple of times in NFL history, yeah. And it's never resulted in anything but just the quarterback being sacked.
Or an interception.
This is the best, this is literally the best result that it's ever gotten, this kind of play. It got 8 yards.
Yeah.
It's like, never happened before.
At this point, just try to go for like a Hail Mary or something.
They're too far. I mean, they should have just done like a hook and lateral. If they were going to do some sort of weird setup, they put all their offensive linemen on like the end of the field.
Like, I don't even understand what that was for. Like, so they can try to like lateral the ball to each other? Like,
I feel like if you're going to do that, just put like –
put some tight ends in, or put
your offensive lineman in there, and then like put like four on one side, and then put like your fastest guy behind them or something. Put like, you know, your quickest receiver and your CD Lamb behind it or something like that. So you throw it to them, you got your best blockers in front of it, and now you got, you know, your two fastest guys running behind all your blockers. And then after that, you can pitch it backwards to Zeke and try and get something going.
My thing is, like, Zeke's talented. Why not put him, like, on the side of, like, with the offensive? Like, why not have a real offensive lineman in the middle? By having Zeke in the middle, he gets blown up. He's completely out of the play now. Like, he's on the floor.
Yeah. Why have him snap the ball?
Like, put him somewhere else.
That's ridiculous.
Put a real lineman there to block and at least, like, give Dak time to do something. Like, Dak, if he would have held on to it, would have got destroyed, too.
Oh, yeah. He had to throw it 8 yards, and then Michael Gallup or Cedric Wilson, whoever caught it, just got immediately, like, there was no – the guy didn't even try and get up and bat it down just so that there was no, like, Minneapolis miracle he misses and the guy somehow zigzags out. Like, he just
– Bad play calling at the end for sure.
With this, what are your predictions for –
Oh, yeah. So – for me, going into this week, like, there's only two games.
You got this whole round right from the start, right? You said Niners, yeah. Eagles, Bengals, Chiefs. Wow.
So Niners are at Eagles. Eagles are the favorite in this. Let me just pull up the line real quick on this.
And it's
already changed a little bit since Monday.
My take, while you're pulling it up, I will say Niners, because Eagles have a great defense and that shuts down teams, but the Niners offense, as we talk about all the time, is so simple and so reliant on great talent that there's nothing the Eagles – how do you stop Deebo Samuel catching the ball for 4 yards and then just being too good to be tackled for another 13? Like, there's no – yeah, you could set up good rushing schemes and – this and that, but there's really like nothing to stop a 5 yard throw to, you know, the most. I mean, it's so hard to tackle Deebo and George Kittle, and I hear like a static in my thing. I don't know. Is that, can you hear it?
I don't hear it.
Okay. Well, that's fine. But like they're, offense is too simple and reliant on great talent for the Eagles to shut them down. So with that, I will say the Niners. And then
– so Niners are plus 2.5 right now. Over-under is 46.5.
I will say –
pretty similar over-under to their last game too.
I'll say under.
Yeah, I was thinking under on this one too. Just because both teams have good defense and I could see it being like – a low-scoring game.
Chiefs-Bengals, unless it's something absurd, I'll say the over without knowing what it is.
47.5, so pretty close.
Oh, yeah, over.
Yeah, I'm going to go over.
Unless
that.
It was like 55 or something like that.
Bengals are, as of right now, a +1 underdog. So it's pretty close. When this first came out, it was a pick-em. It was literally split.
I got the Chiefs going. I know the Bengals have won the last 3 games, but the Chiefs are at home, and Patrick Mahomes just doesn't look like stoppable. I know the Bengals are just so good. They're such a tight, like, talented team, but I don't know. I don't have a – I was talking to my dad about this, but, like, I really don't have a great reason for why I think the Chiefs are going to win other than just
– it's Patrick Mahomes.
They just look good. I have a feeling that they're going to win this.
My picks are actually the opposite of yours for this.
Really?
I've already locked it in. Like, I actually did a parlay on this, but I'm doing Eagles straight-up money line. I want the Niners to win just because, you know, I'm in California. I want the more local team to win, but I don't know if it's going to be enough to stop the Eagles. Like, the Eagles are just like, after what we saw against the Giants, I'm like, oh my God.
That's the thing with this is that I can't see – there's no Super Bowl scenario where it immediately pops in my mind. I go, that's unrealistic. That's not going to happen. I mean, I got my predictions, and I could see the opposite happening, and I'd be like, yep.
Like, all these teams
– that's the outcome. Like it's not – it's so close, like, both of these games, and these teams are all so good that
– I also feel like these teams are almost like – the way they're matched up, I know it's, like, by conference, but the Niners kind of have – like, they're a good defensive team. They have a lot of weapons. The Eagles are a good defensive team. They have a lot of weapons.
It does feel like they're matched up, like, proper. Like
Bengals, like, you know, stud quarterback. Chiefs, stud quarterback. Both have a lot of weapons. Tight end is better on the Chiefs. I would say the running back is better on the Bengals. So it's like they each have like something going for them. And of course they have like really good wide receivers and, you know, maybe the coaching is for sure
like
better.
Receiving
with the
core better for the Bengals, coaching better for the Chiefs. I think both of these games are going to be really good. I don't think we're going to be disappointed at noon and 3:30.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you real quick, what you asked you before the show, but like, what do you think about these times? Like, because I feel like in years past they didn't really do it like this. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
like, I feel like there was always like a Sunday night game, or maybe I'm like mistaken.
I'd rather have noon than 10 o'clock because I like to sleep in on Sundays, and you know.
What about the 3:30 game? Though? Are you okay with that?
I would. The thing is that I got school on Mondays and everybody's got work. So like, if it was Saturday, I'd prefer it to be like a nighttime thing, like, oh, you know, you got this, it's the end of the day, you know, you got a little group,
yeah.
You know. But since it's Sunday and I don't want, you know, I'll have my night to be like Sunday dinner or something like that.
Right.
I'll be fine. You know, I'm not losing any sleep over it. I'm fine with the schedule.
I love the 3:30 game just because, like, I have to go to work the next day and I'm like, I hate staying up late watching a game and then it's like over, I have to go to bed and then get ready for work. Like, it's
nice. And
I'm
sure people on the East Coast are.
Oh my God. I was just thinking that, like,
so happy.
The time difference probably sucks for East Coast people for the 5 o'clock games. But like, I remember the end of this past weekend's game and it was like, oh, it's only like 7:30, 8 o'clock. Like, it wasn't even that late. And I was like, this is kind of nice that the game is like done.
Yeah.
And like, my Sunday, I still have a little bit left.
I still
of my
have
Sunday.
Like, yeah, some weekend. You got enough time to, you know, have dinner, go for a walk, just do whatever.
Get
like,
ready for the whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not like, okay, like, football's over. Now I got to like rush to finish up my day, go to sleep.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. So, Sunny, this weekend you got Niners and Chiefs. I have Eagles and Bengals. We will see how it goes.
Either way, I think
we could both be wrong. It could be like, what if it's like Niners and Chiefs, or sorry, Niners and Bengals.
I think any scenario is going to be a good game. My least would be.
Yeah, what's your least favorite matchup?
My least favorite matchup would be. Probably like Eagles and Eagles and Chiefs. I feel like even still. I don't know. I feel like Eagles and Chiefs would kind of – I don't know why it doesn't like correlate my brain right. But it still would – I think would still be a good game. My favorite would probably have to be
– Niners and Chiefs?
Yeah, probably.
Who would wear the other jersey? Because they're both – these teams are both red.
Oh.
So
– oh, they're both red and white, aren't they?
Yeah, so one team has to wear white, one team has to wear red.
Niners can do their color rush, the black –
That would be
pretty cool, but they won't.
No, I don't know.
It'll be whatever team is like technically at home. You know, there's always technically a home team, technically an away team. You know, just to decide like who gets to choose on the coin flip, who wears what jersey.
Oh, these are the color rush ones are pretty nice. Black jersey with the red note. Yeah. No, but they're – so, yeah, Niners are white with the gold and red. Trying to think. What are – Eagles away jerseys are – is it white as well?
Yeah. I feel like every team has a white. I guess it's just like a neutral, easy color.
It's Eagles away, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like they got to start mixing it up. They got to have like nice jerseys. Like I want to see like some cool stuff.
I would like the color rush ones for the Super Bowl. That'd be nice.
Yeah, it's like you don't all really black, see all red, like Chiefs nine. Like I think
that would be pretty cool. All right, those are our picks. Next week, since we don't have any games, Sunny and I are going to do a little Oscar preview. We'll kind of go over some of the movies we've seen from the past year, movies we like, movies we think are going to win. And I think that's it. So I'm kind of bummed out that the football season's almost over.
But we got the best is yet to come.
Yeah, the best is yet to come. And then, of course, before the Super Bowl, we'll do an episode. We'll do our predictions. We'll do top foods.
Commercials.
We'll do all that. So,
commercials.
There has to be one. Oh,
there's going to be one.
While watching I forgot what game it was. I think it was the Bengals game? They only had like one or two times they aired that Burger King commercial. I thought it'd be more. But it was only one or two times. And I was like, oh, that's not bad. I feel like the people are getting annoyed. They're scaling it back a little
bit. In the Super Bowl, they're charging it up. Every single commercial break
we're going to get.
And they're going to unveil some new new Final Boss commercial. Some new item they're unveiling, like turkey, yeah, or something like that.
Oh, okay. All right, we'll see what happens when we get there. Sonny, what's this all been?
Just a waste of my time.